Hey, Dave here from DC On Screen. If you're following us on Facebook, you might have seen us posting artwork that has been sent to fans. This was sent to fans of DC On Screen as part of a promotion. How can you get your own artwork? Simply go over to iTunes or Stitcher and leave us good ratings or reviews. Or, you know, bad ones if you just gotta be a dick. And then email us at dconscreen@gmail.com. Tell us who you want us to draw, who you want to draw it, Dave or Jason, and leave us an address. If you like, you can send us pictures of yourself with the drawing after we send it, and we'll post it to our Facebook page where you can tag yourself. This promotion ends March 31st, by the way, so you have to get those reviews in. Jason, do you have anything else to add?
It's a little for a lot, Dave. It's a little for a lot.
It is a little for a lot. We try so hard.
We need your help. We're asking. Our humble offering.
Humble. Like pie. Anyway, man, settle back, listen to a brand new episode of DC On Screen starting right the hell now. Welcome in to DC On Screen. I'm your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason.
Hello.
And we are going to be talking about, on this, the 123rd episode of DC On Screen, Gotham 212, Mr. Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
So, right out of the gateway, did you... Gateway, what? Did you... did you feel like there was a little, like, too much, I don't know, back history?
Probably not for the amount of hiatus they went on, but...
I mean, when they're doing the thing where, they start out...
Thing?
Yeah, they start out with a hearing for Jim, and mm-hmm. I swear, like, half of the stuff they showed us was in the previously on.
No. It was pretty mixed. I mean, the previously on was like a minute and a half, and then mm-hmm. you get to, and I do like the method of, like, the interview trick is a fun trick. If you're going to do flashbacks, it's a method I like.
Sure.
I can't remember where I've seen it before, but I know I must have. I mean, I just must have.
Probably, yeah.
But yeah, they wouldn't need it if it hadn't been like, oh God, it feels like half a year. I swear it feels like the summer break between now and the last time I saw Gotham.
It's been like 2 months.
I know. They'd only have to go twice that to actually have the between season break.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little more, but, you know, yeah. I didn't feel like it was an unnecessary amount of exposition, and they did an okay job weaving it in. It just kind of, the whole time I'm thinking like, man, we're like 4 minutes into the show, and if you had just been here for me the whole time, we could be watching it right now.
Right.
But.
Anyway. I enjoyed some of it. I enjoyed most of it. I was confused. Again, like, I had kind of stepped away because they were on break, and now I'm back and going, oh yeah, this show is real weird with their tone.
Yes. Yes, they are sometimes. They absolutely are. I mean, something, just to go for the main point go to the title, though, the Mr. Freeze part.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of tone was perfect for Mr. Freeze. I loved him on this one. Freese, I guess his name should be called. Whatever.
Yeah.
Man. Fuck all that. But, I mean, it was a fine joke and everything, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Freeze himself played extremely well to me. Like, this is probably my favorite live action so far right now. There's not a lot to compare it to, because
yeah,
the most time he's a farce.
Say, what the hell are you repairing or comparing it to?
But even
Schwarzenegger
even
one of those cats from the
season
Animal
one on 66.
Series?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name. Apparently, the guy was an asshole, so they stopped bringing him on. That's why he had another Mr. Freeze later, and then they dropped it entirely. Some director whose name I've forgotten. But yeah, he didn't have a lot of on-screen representation, and by the largest of margins, the closest we've ever gotten is BTAS.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's definitive.
Still my favorite version.
It's definitive. But as a live-action interpretation of even the BTAS material, this wasn't damn bad. I felt for him. Like, I actually rooted for him during the course of this episode, and that's, for me, that's when you've done Mr. Freeze right.
I didn't feel for him, like, at all. And I think, like, I started to, and then I realized, oh, you're just going to get right into this. You're not going to go ahead and, like, I kind of did want, like, at least two or three episodes with Nora. I wanted to get to know Nora because we've never done that before.
Like, oh, you're going to. She's going to be around.
Like, TAS, though, is like, she came out of the thing, like, and some doctor, you know, healed her disease or whatever.
Yeah.
And she married the guy because she was like, oh, my husband's a dick. Look at him, like, trying to freeze Gotham.
Right. I've made a poor choice in my history.
Right. And, you know, like, TAS, you wind up really feeling for Victor. Here, I kind of felt for him, but also kind of wanted to get to know Nora a lot more. I wanted to, before he started going crazy, and I don't know.
I hadn't looked at casting at all, so for me it was a surprise. We got he comes home and there's a woman there. And I thought, oh please, yeah, it's Nora. I was very happy with that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about all of this on the show.
Yeah,
on
forgotten the, about news entirely. Episodes. I've forgotten entirely that she was coming up on this episode. So I'm like, oh my god, great, Nora.
Like, I haven't looked into any news. I'm like, yes, you have every week.
They are virtually identical concepts: forgetting and not looking into. Same output.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was rooting for the guy several times. I mean,
kind of was, but kind of wasn't.
Just made him. They made him kind of likable. And I'll tell you, his the freeze ray itself looked good. Like when he freezes the cop, that looked good.
It did. That looked really cool.
Just plain good.
That looked real good.
And you know what? Part of the reason I ended up rooting for him was fuck that pharmacist. You don't have to be an asshole, dude.
Yeah, that dude was a douche.
Yeah, so you give me a character like that I can root against, and suddenly, like, you know, enemy of my enemy kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gordon's lying to Leslie now.
Yeah. Yeah. We knew that was coming, though. As soon as he sits down at the fountain, like, the last episode, We knew that was coming. And then it's going to blow up, and he's going to lose his wife and his kid. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All that. Because they did stop to remind us that he had recently learned he was pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, from that interrogation scene, like, Jim's a bad liar, right?
Who is?
What does he say? Like, no, I was not. But he takes so long to do it. Just, come on, dude, you're not fooling anybody.
Yeah, and I was like, Barnes, why are you believing him? Like, why?
Barnes ain't buying shit. I'll tell you though, with something they did with the Barnes, this episode that I liked a lot more. It was a better choice than they could have made, because they could have just made it him being like endlessly suspicious. That'd get kind of taxing, right? No, I like this more. He's just going to choose to trust him. And how's he put it? Like, blah, 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 blah. I'm trusting you. Don't make a fool out of me. That's just a lot more interesting angle.
I'm not sure I agree with you on that.
I'd rather see him just go ahead and decide to trust him and get humiliated and see the outshit of that than the him always looking over his shoulder thing. I mean, he'll be always looking over his shoulder anyway.
Yeah, he's going to be doing that anyway.
Like, that's not actually going to change it. He's not just going to blindly trust the guy. But him playing it like that with Jim was a little more interesting to me.
Yeah. Did you see the smiley tag on the building?
Yeah, they're pushing that up front.
Yeah. It was like a smiley face with like ha 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 as the teeth. Yeah,
it's pretty good graffiti too. I like the design,
dude. I laughed.
Like DC done by Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Ooh,
it was the eyes. The eyes gave me Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
So I laughed pretty hard at Butch with his drill hand.
That was funny. I like the idea that he's got a series of attachments.
That's so dumb. So dumb.
No, if you're going to do this, we talked about it last time. If you're going to do this, I want a slew of instruments. I want him to have briefcases full that are lagged around by his cronies, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of Butch's cronies, dude, Tabitha's so ooh.
Oh, yeah, she's very ooh. Their interchange was, this is where we get into, like, okay, I like the tone as it applies to Mr. Freeze. Like it when it applies to Nora, even. Liked all that. This tone works great for that. It does not work for Butch and Tigress. No, just that was weird. That was weird. It felt like I was watching my cousins make out or something. It's just not right.
Yeah, it was creepy.
By the way, I've never seen that, so I don't want to betray suspicions of any kind on my side. But no.
Yes, that's
just want to make sure everyone's in the clear. Still,
you never told me about that experience one night while you were drunk.
I at least don't recall it.
I'm just kidding. He didn't. He didn't, folks.
Which may also, by the transitive property, mean we've never covered it.
It never happened.
As we've gone over. Yeah, dude. They were weird. They were just weird.
They were weird.
Like, Butch is kind of not... Like, I started worrying about Bush's mental health. The way he's responding, he's just he ain't right, man.
No, he well.
And those two are not. They're not. There's nothing going on there. Like they, I liked it a little bit more when they were like end of last half of the season, whatever. You know, the few episodes ago, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
When you have scenes of like Butch standing behind Oswald and they're sitting there eyeing each other. Okay, that was kind of funny. I enjoyed that a little bit more. That was. I don't want to say cute, but not in the romantic way by any stretch, but cute in the it's a funny thing to do on a script way.
Mm-hmm.
This was too far. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Yeah, the writers seem intent on making me squirm.
And they find a way.
Every episode.
Like, you ever had a, if you've ever had like an office flirt that suddenly got too real one day, and both of you went, we crossed a line here. Let's just walk away. It felt like that. Retreat. Yeah.
So I'm digging Ed with Bullock, man.
Oh, Ed and Bullock. Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. And Ed's keeping his character development. That's great.
That is amazing. I'm like very excited about that.
That so needs to happen. I mean, we don't need to see multiple Eds anymore. They have assimilated. They are the one, and they have a backbone. I like him a lot more now. Also, welcome back, Harvey. I don't deserve those lips either, but I miss seeing him.
Right.
I mean, he would come right back to Donald Logue, and it's just right up Joke Street. Thank you. Fucking thank you.
And also, welcome back, Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
Nick DeGosto.
Yeah. Who has always been, he's always done a solid job, especially the one time where they let him actually do the Two-Face thing. But he just feels like a tease now, doesn't he? Has there been a couple times? I only remember the one time in The Office where he actually gets his growl on. I believe you. I miss it. I want more. And in all of the news we've done on Gotham, have I forgotten us talking about whether they're going to make him Two-Face this season? Because I don't believe that's on the docket.
I don't think that's on the docket, no. I don't want it to be on the docket either.
Well, there's already enough going on, right?
Yeah. I want them to just slowly tease that out. Like, they could never do that. I would be okay if they never did it. I just, you know, want to see him get more and more violent slowly.
I do want him to get more. I want a little more screen time with him being aggressive, with him like controlling an interrogation, playing good cop, bad cop, all by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me a couple more of those to tease me, guys. Just a little bit. Just a bit.
Speaking of bad cop from a good cop, Barnes screaming at the entire police force, "Silence! What are you, a bunch of cheerleaders?"
That was, I liked silence.
Like, why don't
it,
you
it takes a lot
your...
to pull out silence.
Yeah, he's like, put away your pom poms and do your job.
This is just one guy. I
like Chiklis.
I'm good with him. I've settled in.
Oh,
speaking of, I forgot to mention this. With the Butch and Tigress weirdness.
Uh-huh.
You know, the very end of that scene, you look up and Selena's been watching.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear, that part in the scene, I'm already, like, I look up and I saw her and I was like, "No, child, leave the room. You don't need to see this." Run, cat, run!
Yeah, I assume that in any given scene, they might just, I fully expect them at any given scene to just pan up and over to the left or whatever, and Selena's going to be watching.
Yeah, yeah. It could be anywhere.
Because they've done it so many times now, where it's just like, dun, dun, dun. Like, why is Selena watching everything? The little pervert.
I don't know, but I dig it, though. I dig that she just kind of sneaks around the city, just creepily sneaks around the city, eavesdropping at her will.
She always knows exactly the people to talk to watch, I guess.
She's good at that. It's one of the special things about her, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't really care. I like that they keep doing it. I do. I like her being sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing about shit she's not supposed to know about. But I don't want her to watch Butch make out with somebody. I got to draw the line somewhere.
What
other attachments
you...
that thing had, buddy?
Oh.
It's only a matter of time, right?
Moving on. So, I felt really bad for Penguin.
Oh, when he gets made fun of?
Yeah, when he jumps up on the table and says he's the king of Gotham and all the nut jobs start making fun of him.
Right,
bad for him.
And they really upped the ante on the nut jobs around, like, the people in Arkham Asylum are what I would classically think of if you say lunatics. Because lunatics is, I mean, it actually used to be a proper term in medicine back when it barely qualified as being medicine, but it has long since been a bad word in that community. And yet this still feels right. Also, did you notice the intake procedures for getting someone committed to the asylum as opposed to jail? The cop's like, you are insane, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pulls him out.
Yeah.
And I believe his application went was pretty much, I'm insane. And then the cop, I guess, confirms, you are insane, right? I'll just assume a little bit of screening went on behind the scenes.
No, I don't think any did.
You know, in Gotham, I don't believe.
I think they're so corrupt, they were just like, oh, you're going to play the insane card? Okay, buddy. That's the way you want it.
You get to go to Arkham Asylum, which has, by the way, some gorgeous nighttime establishing shots.
Mm-hmm.
I freeze-framed it to stare at it for a second. It looks so good.
I'm glad you have that kind of luxury of time.
I found the time, sir. I squeezed in that extra 25 seconds of my day.
So you know what made me laugh and go, oh man, this show. The frozen head in the windshield.
Yeah, yeah. Even Harvey doesn't have a quip for that shit. Just, like, speechless, like he's trying not to piss himself.
Like, I actually did pause it for the head in the windshield, because I was no longer concentrating. I was just laughing and going, this show, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, the thing is, like, when average citizens in Gotham get killed, I don't find myself caring. Mm-mm. They don't empathize. They don't make the city relatable at all. Like that fucking jerk pharmacist. Like you don't send someone asking for life-saving medication out of the door and that mad they come back. It becomes that fucking armchair 101 philosophy question. Like, would you steal medicine for the blah blah blah?
Mm-hmm.
You just walk right into that. I mean, mm-hmm. he's doing his part to contribute to like the collective 2500 IQ of that fucking city.
And you know, that's the other thing, like when or at any given point, like there's like no one on the streets of Gotham. There's no nightlife in Gotham.
No.
And maybe that's because Gotham is so dangerous nobody wants to go out at night.
Well, everyone there's actually so stupid it's not worth going out to see them. You don't want to meet someone in Gotham.
That's true.
Or they're a fucking cartoon lunatic. Mm-hmm. Or a mindless sociopath. Mm-hmm. Or bad cop. Are there more options? Oh, socialites. There are overdressed socialites too.
Right. You know, I just I lived in the fifth most dangerous city in the United States. There are people out all times of night.
never struck my mind to actually fear where I was at any point. No. And I don't walk around armed. I just go places.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know where Gotham would fall on that if it were in the real world, but seems like people are a little too worried about being out at night. No one's out at night. It's just weird.
I saw it listed one time. Honest to God, I saw this listing somewhere, and I'll never remember where the hell it came from. But I saw it listed as Bludhaven, Hub City, mm-hmm. Gotham. What do you think?
As the three most dangerous?
Yeah, in that order. That's the order I actually saw them. God only knows where. It's probably like a fucking Zaptuit or Gizmodo freaking listing somewhere. Right. I don't know. But
I thought I remember reading that Bloodhaven was worse, but in Gotham. Somewhere.
I mean, it sure as hell was after the crisis when they dropped chemo on the entire city.
Yeah.
I think it got its rating then.
This was way before.
No, back when it was just a nice place for Dick to retire to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I seem to remember... I think Denny O'Neill describing it maybe as Gotham's ugly little sister.
That sounds right. That sounds right. See, I've always actually thought of Bludhaven as being not as organized, more scrappy, and probably even a little more violent. Just the undercurrent that forms before an actual wave. That's the stage they're at. Like they're not at Gotham's level of sophistication of crime yet. I've always thought of him as that, which makes him even a lot more dangerous in certain ways. So I've always liked that Nightwing decided, like, nope, I'm going to go tackle this motherfucker.
Right. Well, I think the general consensus on that was And I do seem to remember that being in one of the issues where, like, Dick talking about, like, oh, this is, like, this city is what Gotham was before Batman came around and, like, stopped all the corruption in the police department.
Right.
So,
cool. Okay. I'm gonna go prove myself over here.
But I was an unabashed fan of the Nightwing series. So
all of that was great for you?
Yeah. I was just like, do it, Dick!
You go get him! You don't need that big old bat!
You get out of his shadow!
Very big, though. Get very close far the, away. Go very far. Like, go to another city if you want to get out.
Close the book. I'm sorry, Batman. Please. Mm-hmm. Forgive me.
Look over at the posters. I didn't mean it.
What did you think of B.D. Wong as Hugo Strange?
He's hard to get used to, but I'm kind of digging that a little bit. Let me put it this way. I came away going, thinking, there are parts of this I like, and there are parts of this that are a little strange. But none of the parts that were so strange were, I think they're choices. I don't think that's, I think that's just going to end up being how he's playing the character. So I just want a little more time with him. Like, I think by the next, in the next episode, I'll know really how I feel about it. But so far, I kind of dug it.
Yeah, I actually wrote down most interesting Hugo Strange so far. I think he's really creepy. I think he's disturbing.
Neckbeard really ups the ante on creepy.
Yeah, it does. But
I mean,
yeah,
you've got like, if you're B.D. Wong, I mean, I'm sorry, if you're Hugo Strange, from the neck down, you're pretty much like dressed as Dark Shadows. And then at the neckish area, you're pretty much like somewhere between lumbersexual, hipster, something in that area, right? The neckbeard type. Or Luck. And then from pretty much like the nose up, you've got to have like the John Lennon glasses. But when you look at all the whole ensemble, it's real creepy. It just is.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah, I was down with him. I'm not a fan of the Hugo Strange character. I've never been interested in him. Probably a lot like how you feel about Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've just always been sort of like, ugh.
Every now and then, I'll see a nuance somewhere that I like, but it's mostly just, eh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say I probably like him a little bit more than you do, but it's only because he comes out of a psychiatric background most of the time.
Right. So, not a big fan of the see no evil, do no evil bit. I kind of am now officially tired of that bullshit. Because it seems like this show, every time...
Which kind of bullshit?
Okay, it seems like this show, every time they want to shock you, they just take somebody's eyes.
Oh, yeah, good call. Yeah, he should have ripped his ears off.
They're like, and now we show an eyeballless bloody socket. Like, didn't we do this like 4 or 5 times already?
Haven't we gone down that road?
We certainly did, and we're doing it again.
You're right. Just to avoid repetition, he should have just ripped his own ears off and passed him through the, like, if he had dropped 2 bloodied ears off the side of that, yeah, I could, you know, same effect, right? You can still use the see no evil, hear no evil.
Mm-hmm. Even that would have been
you can't do the tongue, though, because it just comes out like, see no evil, see no evil, blah, 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 blah. There are limitations.
So I wrote down here, Nora can't betray Victor. New twist.
Yeah. I saw her make that decision and kind of thought, you know what? Fuck yeah. There you go, Nora.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. What do you think? I think this is all I got for this episode.
One more thing I had.
Sure.
Well, 2, I guess. He's going to go for immersive aversion therapy and radical psychotropics.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to Clockwork Orange's ass. That's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it goes, but I think that's next episode. So whatever torture, and I think the description I saw of the episode said that he was trying to correct his root problem, which was anger issues.
Mm-hmm.
I have never wanted Hugo Strange to fail more in my life. I do not want an unangry penguin.
I don't either.
I want that ruthless motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Killing for tuna sandwiches.
No, I did. I very much missed Bruce and Alfred in this episode.
That was another big one for me. You take them away for months, and then you come back, and you don't have time for
the most interesting characters on the show. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I liked the episode. I just, oh come on! Like, couldn't we have done without Butch and Tigress? Maybe let's do that another episode, because that was kind of a one off. That was 5 minutes of screen time where we could have easily given me a little Bruce and Alfred.
Absolutely.
And some Selina. You can keep your Selina. She can still eavesdrop at Bruce Banner, or Wayne Manor, just as well as she can anywhere else. But one of the loose ends that I haven't seen tied up at all. Lucius Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that damn hard drive, dude?
Yeah.
Every time I see him, all I want to do is ask him, where's that fucking hard drive?
Mm-hmm.
Because you stormed into that, in that whatever room that is in the basement or whatever the fuck that was, saying, I fixed it. All right, well. You showed me, like, blood transfusion packets. You showed me used body armor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said it was Thomas Wayne's computer. And now a few episodes ago, you told me you fixed the computer that he had in his little tiny makeshift cave.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he's calling himself cave. Vigilante cave.
Right.
And,
the Wayne cave.
Yeah. And come on, guys. Give that to me. You owe me that.
Yeah.
I'm not even asking. You owe me. Showrunner.
Yep.
Let's go, Bruno.
Should be noted that this did not open to spectacular ratings. It was a 4.12 million.
Yeah.
It should be a little higher for a, you know, mid-season premiere.
They wanted to be touching five. Wouldn't hurt their films at all to hit just over five. I don't think they were. No one had like six or seven on their projection sheets, but.
And yeah, it's been a little lower than average, so.
But 4.12 still isn't. It's kind of scary for a premiere of any kind, even if it's a mid-season premiere.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they've been averaging, is a little over four. Like, just at that four mark is kind of what they've been hitting most of the season, really. That's where their baseline ended up being. So when you come back from a premiere, you don't want to just be right back at your baseline, because it means you're going to lose a few out of that. Like, now they're thinking, oh, crap, we're going to be at like 3.6, 3.7 here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and I would not, I wouldn't be surprised. Because 4.12 is a little lower than they've been doing, but for the most part. It also should be noted that they are no longer doing Rise of the Villains. Now it is Wrath of the Villains.
Sure.
That is the, this is the only show I know of that's doing, like, a subheading for two halves of the season. I guess they just decided we did it in season one where, like, the both two halves of the season felt completely different. Why don't we just do it here, too?
We complained about that a little bit. Actually in depth, I think, on a Gotham recap, was we didn't like the fact that they had felt like two different seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta admit, though, somehow when you embrace it like this and give it two different names, now you kind of have a free pass from me to actually try to make it feel like two different heads of a season. I don't know why, but if it's intentional, I'm totally more supportive about it.
Yeah.
It felt more like an accident in season one.
I guess. I think it was an accident in season one.
Yeah. I'll give it this, though. That's a neat technique. I mean, I'd like to see if that can be done well. I wouldn't mind things being broken up that way if it's done well.
Yeah, I wouldn't care if it was done well.
It's just going to be a matter of time to see. Was there a moment where you realized, like, okay, so part of this season is going to have, like, a reanimation kind of theme? Like, Victor's trying to get that going. Hugo's trying to get his whole thing going. And then apparently, at the end, realizes that the breakthrough's already been made that he's looking for, so.
Right.
You can expect Freeze to get, you know, pulled into this fold somehow, but as soon as you realized it was a reanimation theme, was there a moment where you were like, okay, when do I get Grundy? someone tell me right now when the fuck I get to see Solomon Grundy.
I kind of figured that was coming, since Indian Hill people coming back from the dead news broke a few months ago.
I want it. Grundy could not be more perfect for this show, too, because he's a weird enough character that they'd have fun with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's built for gritty. He's built for this tone. He's perfect for it. He's a mobster who ended up with some bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got just enough magic in him that, you know, it's comic book magic, I'll call it, that you can kind of tweak it however you want to and still fit him into the story. Like, it couldn't be anything better for it.
You're probably right about that. If I had to choose, though, I'd rather see him on The Flash or Arrow.
I actually don't think... I mean, you have seen him kind of on Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Very briefly, not the way we wanted, but... You've kind of seen it. I don't know. I think I would actually rather see him on this show. I say that about so few things, especially as it regards Flash, but I think I would actually rather see him here.
I don't know. I could deal with an Earth 2 Grundy who's like the size of King Shark. They're not going to do that on Gotham.
Well, if they do that, the joke's going to be like they're going to see the guy and see that he's a giant zombie situation, and Cisco's gonna go Solomon Grundy, and everyone's gonna look at him like, but that one doesn't even make sense. He's like, no, so, and has to sing the song for them, like Born on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna have to do the whole song for them, so they kind of
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, I feel like this show, I feel like Gotham still struggling tonally. I don't feel like it doesn't know what it wants to be. They've got, their cast is way too big. They are struggling to get everything in.
They clearly are. I think they're going to give themselves what they're doing. If what they did this week represents the technique they're going to actually try to use, where they just named the episode Mr. Freeze,
mm-hmm.
and then focused heavily on Mr. Freeze with, you know, a few interludes here and there to kind of keep up with some other stuff. That can work if you focus thoroughly enough on each character, and if you make that episode interesting enough that I only think about other people for the amount of time an interlude takes.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to drop it at some point and then put all the pieces together. So if you do it, you've got to handle that transition well.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just as scary as spinning all those plates the whole time, really.
Yeah.
But at least if you do it this way, each of these characters that you're going to be pulling in this back half of the season, you'll get your full intro. You're not going to get like some half-fleshed out character somewhere.
Hey, you know, I mean, I say Sarah Essen's dead. Time to start killing folk. You're off script, Heller. You're off script. Time to start killing folk.
I mean, yeah, they could use some culling.
You could take about half of the characters on Gotham, just pull a snart on them, put them in the back of their head, and call it a day.
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's not so much an ensemble cast at this point as like an assembly cast. It's just a several dozen people deep. I mean, you could sit here and name off, like, all right, who are the live characters in this show right now? And probably
it's like if The Simpsons tried to like focus on every character, including Bumblebee Man.
Right.
No thanks.
Right. I got you.
Anyway, here's hoping it gets better. We'll of course be back next week with another review of Gotham. Up next, our review of Supergirl. What's the number on that? I've got it right here.
115 Solitude.
Ooh, we're going to have fun talking about this.
Oh, yeah.
We are DC On Screen. You can find every episode at DCOnScreen.com. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. If you're looking for a similar podcast about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, go check out our friends Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall at the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Both the MCU cast and DC On Screen are part of the Giant Size Team Up Network. GiantSizeTeamUp.com. I think that's it. Until next time, guys, keep some DC on your screen.